an interesting analogy to the process that we're all in is that of trying to wake yourself up from a dream. I don't know how many of you have ever tried that. The first issue, honestly, is to realize that you're dreaming. And I suspect each of you may have had that occasionally. Something in you goes, I'm dreaming. And then there's a kind of appreciation of that. And in most cases, I suspect you want to stay dreaming. Mostly the dreams are either fairly engaging or fairly benign. And there's something really cozy about dreaming. Occasionally, you don't like your dreams. And on certain occasions, they get so unpleasant that something in you gets an urge to wake up. I don't like this. Something says, I want to wake up. I want to stop dreaming. And it takes a fairly unpleasant and ugly dream for that to happen. And then sometimes you find you don't know how to do it. You say, I don't like this, but you can't change it. And you're just caught in the unpleasantness of your own mind activity, if you want to call it your own. Whose else is it, really? And then sometimes it's really so deeply, deeply disturbing that something in you just goes, and you wake up and you completely shatter the experience. And there you are, back in your own bed or whoever's bed, and still somehow caught between the dream and the not dream, and trying to figure out where you are, and there's a kind of strange between world experience. But there's a certain sense that whatever it was is over. It lingers, but it's over. And you slowly recollect yourself and return to the familiar, comforting, self-aware, comforting again, saying it's okay, it was just a dream. And you awake. Once in a while, you have what's called a lucid dream. Has anybody here had lucid dreams? A few people. In a lucid dream, you actually wake up in your dream and are aware that you're dreaming and very much in charge of your dream, that you're completely awake in it. In fact, you're more awake in your dream than you're awake in your daily life. And it is vivid and brilliant and colorful. And I think most people who awaken a vivid dream of that nature, a lucid dream, are in a fairly beautiful state. It's usually a dream you like being up in. You like being present in it. And it's an interesting state because, in a way, it's more real than here. It seems more real than here. Because you're aware that you're dreaming it. You're aware that somehow you are in charge of it, and you start to feel in lucid dreams how it is you can manipulate the dream. Like, very common for people in a lucid dream, I think I'm going to fly now. I want to fly. And so you try to feel it, and usually my experience is you kind of fall forward into flight. You just trust it. You give yourself over into lifting off. and you are sailing through your own extraordinary dreamscape. And it is really beautiful, and you don't want it to end, but it does. It goes back into a kind of what I would call ownership, where you're trying to go, look what I am doing. You separate yourself from it. There's a kind of egoism that wants to hold on to this thing, that wants to possess it, and it just brings it down into falling back into unconscious sleep, which is not very pleasant. It's not very pleasant because you want it so badly, and then you lose it. And part of you will remember having had it, but you remember it just as a memory. You know it was, it existed, but you can't bring yourself quite back to that, and you can't make it happen. I mean, people try. Some people think there are techniques for it, but it's hard. But the extraordinary thing about awakening within the dream is how intensely more real it is. It is very rare for people in the midst of a normal dream, especially a good dream, one to even think of waking up. Why would you want to? It's a nice dream. Who knows? You don't even know you're dreaming 99% of the time, so you're just going along through the dream. And if someone were to come to you in your dream and say you're dreaming, it would be an interesting moment. You go, and then they would say, you know, you can wake up from this. Now, this is a dream person talking to you. And you would go, okay. Why? Why would I want to wake up from this? Why are you telling me this? And then the person probably would morph into something else. They're gone, and you're on the rest of your unconscious dream. And sometimes when that voice comes to you in a positive sense, now we're talking about dreams that are not nightmares that you try to thrust yourself out of, but nice, benign dreams. Someone comes to you and says, you can awaken to something real. That this dream is simply a fantasy. That everything that's happening in this dream is your creation, and it doesn't have any substance. If you become a wealthy person in this dream, it's just a dream. If you become the most successful person on the planet in your dream, it's just a dream. It doesn't mean anything. If you become miserable and unhappy and situations are awful, it's okay, because it's just a dream. What happens if you begin to believe this person in your dream and you start to realize that everything you're striving for is just going to go like that when you wake up? Just going to go away. That all your troubles and all your struggles and all your difficulties are just going to go gone. It's very hard when you get that information in a dream to say, well, I think I'm going to keep struggling in my dream. I feel like I need to keep building a world. I still have to become famous in my dream before I wake up. I still have to make $10 million or $20 million before I wake up. It's really, really important. And somebody will say to you, okay, go for it. But it's a dream. So you can spend your whole time dreaming, going through all that, which is in a sense what dreamers do. Or something in you can go, all of this time and energy and effort in the dream spent on propelling and perpetuating the dream possibly could be used for something else, which is to see who's dreaming. To discover what this dream is at all. Why is it? Why am I in this dream? Why does dreaming exist? Now, not many of us do that in our dreams, but obviously you can tell I'm speaking in metaphorical terms here. This is our collective dream. This is the collective dream. And if someone comes to you in this dream right now and says to you, why are you devoting all your time to thinking $20 million or whatever it is going to make you happy in the dream? Why is it that you think that success is going to do anything ultimately to satisfy you? Why don't you realize, as everybody should, that this dream is temporary? It has limited duration. It's going to be over. Gone. And all of your striving and all of your effort and all of your achievement are going to be blown away like dust on the beach, sand on the beach. Gone. And yet you tell that to people, and you know, people have been hearing that from time immemorial. It doesn't change anything. I still need it. I still want it. I still have to have this stuff. I have to survive. You have a lot of reasons for it, really good reasons. You know, how am I going to put food on the table? How am I going to do this? You get angry, actually, because it's like, who wants to wake up from this? How can I wake up from this? It's too important. It's all there is. And there's a certain rational sense to that. And it's hard to convince anybody, that you're dreaming. This is a dream. And it's your dream. But it's not your dream as this person. Your person is in the dream. What is it that's dreaming you? What is it that's dreaming that you're even in this room and listening to this talk? And why is this talk coming to you? Why is this crazy person sitting here telling you you're dreaming and you know you're not? You know you're completely awake, sitting here in the middle of a real life, having this real adventure, real experience, and someone is telling you, wake up. Bless you. Wake up. You may even wonder what the goal of waking up is. Why would I want to wake up? It's a pretty nice life, or not. You know, I mean, I think this message tends to get through on some level to people whose lives are awful. They say, yeah, sure, wake me up. You know, stop the world, I'm happy to get off it. But people whose lives are kind of going well or who have a lot of ambition and hope that they will go well or that they will get better, that's the usual driving force. It will get better, the American ideal. You know, we're somehow in the future, if I do all this stuff, it will turn out to be great. Yes, it may, for as long as it can, and then it will do what every other life does. It will disintegrate in front of your eyes, actually. In fact, your eyes themselves will disintegrate, probably. When you turn 40, they'll start. So you get caught in this extraordinary dream with very few people telling you there is value, perhaps, in realizing what's going on here. There's some value in recognizing this possibility that you can awaken to what this is. If you question why bother, which I think is a reasonable question, the only answer possible is that awakening is infinitely better than this. Why would you want it otherwise? Why do you want to awaken if it's worse? Like the Matrix, you know? You awaken from that into this horrible little rocket ship, you know, and you know all these horrible computer creatures are coming to kill you. Who wants to awaken to that? But what if I told you, you awaken from this amazing space into something truly more amazing, more beyond comprehension, wonderful. Again, I use these words all the time, Satchitananda, truth, consciousness, bliss. One awakens to something that is so astounding and so like lucid dreaming, if you will, an awareness of how this is your and our or its collective amazement. Enchantment, entrancing reality. And you start to see yourself not as the dream element, but as the dreamer. And the dreamer is you. The dreamer is unembodied, unencumbered, clarity and truth, and it is your real nature. Why we get so seduced into the dream and why we fight waking up is hard to understand. It's hard to understand intelligently or intellectually, but it's not hard to understand when you are actually in your own dream at night trying to wake up. You're so in it. You're so in it that it'd be very hard to wake you up. And if somebody came and woke you up, it would actually be shocking. It would actually be uncomfortable to just go. And if they wake you out of a great dream, you're going to be angry. And if they wake you out of a horrible dream, you're going to be dislocated and disoriented. So waking is best if it's kind of a gentle process. A kind of what you go through on, if you, it would be Sunday morning if you weren't coming here, where you lie in bed and you kind of get up and you go, ah, and you go back into sleep and you go, ah. You wake up and you go back into sleep, and then you kind of imagine coffee or something, you know, that makes you go, waking up is good. And then you kind of let go of the dream, you let go of that world, and you re-enter this world. That's what waking up feels like, I think, to the true experience of enlightenment. It's almost like the infinite smell of coffee. And it just wakens you to yourself, and you're so happy, happy to be back being you. And everybody in this room knows what that feels like, because somewhere inside you, it is your true and honest and lifelong reality. It's there. It's there. And you touch it every so often. I touch it. I touch it more and more, and I keep going, ah, and I keep wanting to wake up, and then I kind of get back into this thing. And I kind of wake up again, and I feel this thing going on. You know, when I finally wake up, when that happens, and I'm really knowing that it will, you know, it will be an interestingly completing moment. You go, you're up. Okay, I'm up. That's what it is. You're awake. Done. You know, yes, could you fall back asleep? I suppose so. But mostly when you're up, you're up. And maybe there's some larger cosmological sleep. Maybe this is it, in fact, that we go into and wake up from. And we go into it and we wake up from it. I don't know the infinite. I have no idea. But I do know this, that this sense of awakening that is occurring for me comes down to something ultimately exceedingly simple, which is just that I feel present in this moment. To say that I feel awake in this moment is kind of a misunderstanding, because I don't feel totally awake, but I feel deeply present in my being here with you. And when I sit with each of you, it is with an unbelievable sense of connectivity and truth. A kind of shared high. Remember, we're both here. This is real. This is true. We are dreaming this together. And what happens for me when I sit with everybody is that often I see, and I sit with you, that you're so lost in the dream that there's barely any connection. Some of you sit there, and you can feel the energies all up here swirling around, and I'm trying to get through, trying to make the connection, and you're going, oh, is he looking at me? Is he looking at me? Oh, he's looking at me. Oh, ooh, oh, that's interesting. That feels, wow. What am I doing here? Why am I sitting here? And then I watch you go back into dreamscape. But with everybody in this room, I find at least a moment of looking at each other awake. And I think you know that. And if you personally don't know it, yourself knows it, of course. Because we are doing this thing together, which is awakening together. And in truth, the ultimate awakening of any individual, true, true, true awakening, requires the awakening of everybody else. Now you can see what a magnitude of effort that is, because if it means the whole world has to awaken, it does. That's a lot of waking up. But every being that awakens helps that process. helps us all. Hey, come on. Wake up. It just helps that. And that's what we're all doing. And so the first and most important step in all of this is to get your act together. I know this sounds odd, but get your ego act together so that you can finally get enough clarity on who you are and what you are, where you're not fighting yourself, where you're not in battle with all of your struggles, where you just get yourself together. And I would call this having all of your chakras open. Your mind is clear, your communications are clear, your heart is open, you have a strong sense of connectivity to the physical world, your sexual life and your rebirth life is all, your renewal energy is all in place, and then there's this awe that comes up your spine. Because it's all working and you're here, you're alive, you feel alive, you feel open, you feel connected, you feel allowing, you feel forgiving, you feel accepting, all of this stuff. Rudy said that's not the end of your spiritual life, it's the beginning, and that's exactly right. Because when all of that stuff is open, you can finally bring yourself to the table because you're complete, you're whole, you're healthy internally, you're joyous, you're happy, and that's the best way to finally let go. If you're sitting there protecting yourself, hiding yourself, deluding yourself, caught in the dream, all of that stuff, this won't happen. It can't happen. So the first thing we all do is get ourselves whole and complete. Give up the dream of pursuing illusion. Give up the dream that life is going to somehow do it for you. Give up the dream that it's going to happen in 5 years, or if you make this money, or you marry this person, or you have this success. Give that up. Don't. You can go for all of it. You can pursue all of it. There's nothing wrong with pursuing it. It's what we do in the world. But don't think of it as giving you anything other than, this is what I do day to day. This is my work. It's what I do on the planet. It's how I function in this world. It's how the world works. It's all good. It's all fine. Even our desires are fine. It's all fine to want this stuff, but have something behind you recognize what you get will not be the thing you're looking for. And the thing you're looking for really is, and this is the secret to everything, just being, period. That's the secret. Be. Feel your being. Be at peace with who you are in this moment. And that allows for everything else to take place, including success, including happiness, because you arrive at happiness not down the road, but right now, because just being is happy. Just being fills you with love. Just being is joy. Truly. And it doesn't come from the thing you're going to do next. It doesn't come from selling the script. It doesn't come from making $100 million. Trust me, I know it. It doesn't come from that. It comes from nothing. It comes from being. This is it. And if you can't sit and be joyous, you won't earn it in any way. There's nothing you can do to attract it. There's nothing you can do to get it. All you can do is recognize that it's there now. That's all you can do. And if you're not getting it now, you're not getting it, period. This is it. This is it. It's right here now. And all you have to do is open these chakras, meaning just relax them. Relax your mind. Relax your throat. Relax your heart. Relax your belly. Relax your sex. Relax the base of your spine. And just be present. And you will start to feel this sense of, and the kundalini, if you will rise up your spine. It's really just awe. It's really just gratitude. It's just life energy. It's just fullness. It's this incredible feeling of being here. And you feel so lucky. Period. And don't let your mind start to bring you back into, but this didn't happen and that didn't happen and what about this? Because that just shuts it all down again. Live without that. Live in a sense of real trust. It's hard. I know it's hard. I fail at it all the time. All the time. The only difference is I wake up internally over and over and over, and I believe at some point I shake myself awake and I go, okay. And that everybody in this room can do that is doing it is here because you're doing it. This is the shaking room. This is the room that says, okay, wake up. Wake up. So, any questions? Steve, you had one of these.
I was going to say, about the lucid, there was a program years ago about lucid dreaming, and they did a test where they had three people that could do lucid, that have this experience of lucid dreaming. They arranged that night, they would meet in their dream in a park, and to see if they would show up. Hmm. And two of them showed up and met in their dreams in a park, and one person didn't.
I took a class. I only lasted one session in lucid dreaming. And it was a really interesting class. And I'll tell you what really hit me more than anything. They went around the room and asked everyone in the room, why do you want to do this? And the prevailing answer, and it's really an interesting one, is, I want to be God. That's what they wanted. They wanted to control the universe. And I'll tell you where the problem comes in. The problem comes in is that their ego wanted to be God, and they didn't realize that the lucid dream was occurring because they are already God. When the ego wants to own that, it can't happen. Your ego can experience it, but it is a real misconception, and it gives you a kind of power that is a taste of real power, if you will, but you are owning it and you are making it into something very controlling, very small, and ultimately very corruptive. It's the fall from grace, it's the fall from God, it's this fall, it's leaving heaven to own the world and taking the energy of that to have this world. It's a real danger, and it's what really corrupts the world and what happens to all of us. We're all here using our energy, the energy of God, as our own to achieve very limited and very illusory results. And when you stop doing that, the true lucid dreaming is to realize who is dreaming, and you go, I am dreaming. But it's not your voice, and it's not your name, although it participates in it. It's something much greater that you realize is truly you. And that's when you awaken to what's called I am. Not I am Steve or I am Bruce, but I am. And that's what we're all working for. And that's what is promised to all of us, ultimately, if we go through this, open the chakras, get the flow, get comfortable in yourself, accept your failures as well as your successes, accept that the world is not the answer to your problems. The answer to your problems is that you have no problems because your true existence is peace or truth, consciousness, and bliss already at this moment. And not to know that is because your mind and your brain are caught in this delusion. And so, wake up. Anybody else?
Craving to sort of keep it all, hold on to everything, is also ego. Is that
it's ego. It's the ego that starts. We are given this enormous collective dream. We're given this as a kind. We choose it. Something in us, our God self, whatever you want to call it, hungers for this, and it enters into it, and in a certain sense, chooses to be deluded, because that's how it all comes into such entertainment. You know, it becomes something worthy when you really have to struggle against stuff. You really believe you're here, but it's a real. We get so caught in it that getting out of it becomes problematic and celebratory. Really, I mean, it's such a rare event that somebody gets out of it. You know, why does the infinite create this finite situation to get lost in? Why does that happen? I mean, every culture has its answers to that. You know, I don't know. You know, I mean, I like the idea that it's a play to entertain ourselves for eternity. And go in it, go out of it. I truly don't know. But I do know from the glimpses I've had and from people who I am aware of who've done this, that when you really step out of it, it's like it changes the dynamic quite a bit. You know, I mean, Nisargadatta, as I've said before, he became totally awakened, but he still smoked. He still smoked his cigarettes and had a cigarette store, you know, in India. It's like, well, how can you be awakened and do that? Well, but the thing is, how can you not? What do you do? you know, before enlightenment chop wood, carry water, after enlightenment chop wood, carry water. It looks very much the same, but you're doing it from a very different perspective. And you are sitting or lying or doing whatever you're doing, floating and observing this unbelievably extraordinary space. And you are in a state of wonder, but with awakening, you're in a state of clarity about what that is. It's still like, it's an unnameable thing. It's an appreciation of life. I mean, you have to look at this and go at some point, how did this happen? What is this? It's pretty amazing, and we're in it. When we're looking, I mean, just what's going on right now, this sharing of stuff, it's, when you think about it, or not beyond think about it, when you touch the truth of it, it's like, you almost can't talk. You almost can't, you don't know what to do. How, why? And there's no answer other than it is.
And then there's this mechanism in me that wants to go.
Yes. No. And the part that wants to grasp it and hold it and all of that seems to be built into this whole situation. So you can't get angry at yourself for it. You can't say what you're doing is terrible and wrong and evil. It just is. The ego mind wants to do that, and the greater self sees it for what it is. And in truth, the line between that ego grasping and the greatness that's observing has no separation. So the part of you that thinks there's the good part of you that watches and the bad part of you that grasps, it's all the same thing. It's all working together. And I think at some point you wake up to that and you start living differently. You grasp differently. In fact, rather than grasp, you really do this thing which is, I find, phenomenal, which is let go. You start doing that. Instead of the grasping mechanism, which is a kind of ignorant part of this, the letting go feels so delicious. Let it go. Give it away. Let it flow. It's the most beautiful, wonderful thing. And that the great saints, they're just giving all the time. Because what's the joy? The joy is never in hoarding. The joy is always in giving, always. That's really what it's about. And that's what we grow into, each of us. And every time we hoard a little bit or grasp a little bit, there's a little something in us that feels a little bit weird. I want that. You know, it's really interesting when I write a script and somebody gives me an idea for a line, I can tell they want credit for that line. They want me to put like a little hyphen, a little something that just says on the screen, that one line was suggested by so-and-so, because we want ownership. You know, and the person who writes the whole script, you know. I watched a guy talking the other night who wrote a really fascinating screenplay. He said the best part is not knowing I didn't do it. It just happened. But that's true of everything in life. When the great stuff happens, you have nothing to do with it because you're in touch with the vastness of creative flow and you've become, through this very open chakra system and an allowing of that energy to manifest in the world. And it wants to manifest for some reason. And the great art and the great manifestations are so worthy of our honoring and celebrating. You look at the Michelangelos of the world, you know, the Da Vincis. Look at all these guys who really got it right. And you go, how did they do that? Well, they don't know how they did it either. They just stayed totally open and it flooded through their particular configuration of being and made itself known. It doesn't have to manifest as great art to be great manifestation. It can be, how do you react to another person on the street? I'm telling you, great art comes in little moments and they are as meaningful as the Sistine Chapel. It may not seem that way, but they are. We're creating our own world, our own way. And in truth, I will tell you, the Sistine Chapel has been created by you. Not individual you, but by you. By the you that we all share. The great Shakespearean works, we have created that. It's us. And by us, I mean singular us. Everything you know to be completely beautiful and wondrous in the world is the creation of yourself. It's an extraordinary thing. Sure. Do you have a question?
If your growth and circumstances of life sort of bring an understanding which is in some ways defined as this who what I am needs to die, to just go away, just this sort of like, and to what degree is, even if on an internal basis, is the sort of the classic tradition of renaming yourself, sort of to on that level, to come to terms with that newness.
I think the renaming it is a kind of reconstructing it. I think allowing yourself to know that part of you is dying, and not to engage it so much. It's just, it's kind of natural. Again, to use the sleep analogy, so like when you're waking up and you kind of re-enter the dream, and part of you goes, "Oh, look, I've kind of re-entered the dream," and you just sort of let go a little bit, and you wake up again, and you wake up again. You don't have to get into that little bit of dream and turn it into, okay, now I'm going to rename myself as the awakened one, and all, because then you're just back in the dream. You know, now I'm going to be a different person when I wake up. Just wake up. Just allow the whole thing to be exactly what it is. When you do it through a kind of clarity and consciousness, the whole thing seems right. All of the stupidity, all of the ignorance, it's all like, ah, it had to be there. There's so much forgiving and so much acceptance that takes place that you don't have to go through any kind of ritual to acknowledge the part of you that's falling away. Because the part of you that's falling away just goes, I'm done. So long. No big deal. It's not like you've lost anything. It's just part of the what was to create the you that is emerging. And so to get caught up in thinking it has to be this way, or you have to do some kind of acknowledgement of that you're dying, I mean, you can, but you don't have to. You know, if you want to do it, go for it. But it will happen even so. The mere fact that you are aware that there's a new thing in you emerging doesn't mean that it needs to be named. It needs to be, period. Okay. Jay, did you have a question before? Oh, okay. Anybody else? Okay. Thanksgiving is on Thursday. Great opportunity to remember gratitude. Really a great opportunity to remember gratitude. And I suspect a lot of you won't be around next Sunday, but there will still be a class. So for those of you who are in town and who are hungry for something other than turkey, we'll be here. Thank you.